Hello again, it's Friday, and that means another in a series of our podcasts, the Zogby Report, Real and Unscripted. Jeremy, my son and partner, and I, every week, take a look at some hot issues in the news and either agree to disagree or agree to agree, rarely sometimes even disagree to disagree, whatever that means. But in any event, we have a lot of fun with this, and it is pure and spontaneous. You have no idea what we're going to do, Jer, and it just popped into my head, as usual, about 5 minutes beforehand. But before we start with a conversation today, I have a special announcement, and that is that we have another guest following a very successful interview a few weeks ago with the author Parag Khanna, who has written the book called Move. And many of you indicated to us via email and text how much you enjoyed that interview. We have another guest next week. That'll be former senator, longtime former senator, and former vice presidential candidate, Joe Lieberman from the state of Connecticut, who has written a book on centrism. And his book is coming out right around at the time that our podcast will be aired. We look forward to a healthy and a robust conversation. And in fact, given the fact that that'll be next week, please, in the meantime, feel free to feed to Jeremy or to me any questions that you might have for Senator Lieberman, and we'll make every good attempt to share your questions with him. And so, Jer, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. All right, basic question here. Do we really need Facebook? And by we, I don't mean you and me. I barely use it. In fact, I have three accounts, and I can't remember the passwords for two of them. So I miss quite a few messages and well wishes and all of that. Let me put it this way. I mean, I think it's a very powerful tool. I think it's a good tool. Being a grandparent now, it's a wonderful tool. But I just wonder if things now stand, if a multi-headed hydra has been created that is out of control, that is out of control of the owners and founders, for those who are hired to put fires out and build firewalls and write new algorithms, that they're chasing their own tail, and that we've come to a point where Facebook is just out of control. We've either come to a point where it leads to self-regulation, which we see is almost impossible, or in a growing consensus among Democrats and Republicans that there be some sort of government regulation, which I also think is impossible. I think the only solution is to go one step further than the Supreme Court did with both Standard Oil in 1911 and with AT&T in the 1970s, and just bust it up, maybe start all over again. But what do you think? I know you're not a fan of government regulation, but tell me about Facebook and what you think.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm not a fan. I mean, I believe there have been some regulations that were Glass-Steagall, or whichever the one. I think it was Glass-Steagall that separated investment banking from commercial banking. I thought that did a great justice. But I think it's beyond, you know, self-regulation versus government regulation. And I think it really comes down to the rule of law, and this has been reported for years that, I mean, you have high level people from Facebook, and not just Facebook, but the other social media platforms, executives, some of the most sophisticated and innovative technologists within those companies in Silicon Valley who were coming out probably 5-6 years ago saying, we don't let our kids use this stuff. You know, one, and I can't remember his name, actually said he felt guilty that they developed a product which knowingly and purposely destroyed the social fabric. And then now we have this woman who came out a few weeks ago and, you know, as a whistleblower and said that Facebook uses these algorithms to goad people down the rabbit hole. It's one thing if you want to go down the rabbit hole yourself, you have that right to do that.
And you're old enough when you have this decision as an adult, I might add.
Yeah, of course, you know, and I mean, yeah, we don't want 6-year-olds going down the rabbit hole. They should be supervised. But needless to say that when you have a company that's their primary business model is to separate you further and isolate you from society so that you become so much like an atom that you become obsessive with what you pursue in terms of your knowledge and interest that you can't even have conversations with people because they don't see what you see. A lot of that is the result of these sophisticated Silicon Valley algorithms. And it begs the question, where is the investigation? Where is the investigation of criminality, malfeasance? What's the money trail? Where's the release of the documents, the discovery phase and all of this? And so before we talk about breaking up Facebook, which I don't even really know that would do much because the Clayton Antitrust Act, they broke up Standard Oil, but you still saw the birth of the Rockefeller World Empire, right? So how much did that really work when even though Standard Oil was broken up, it just became more difficult to follow the money trail? They just
interesting
became,
fact,
you know, 24.
Just chime in for a moment, is that when Standard Oil was broken up in 1911, it was broken up into 50 separate companies. 38 of those 50 companies were in the largest 100 companies in the world. That's how large Standard Oil was. But anyway,
so it really comes down to the rule of law, and that when there's an act of criminality, look, when somebody robs a bank or when somebody is a serial killer or does anything that we know is illegal, we expect there to be a trial and justice. Well, the same thing has to happen when it's visible and we know that they're ripping apart the social fabric and the political fabric. Let's not forget, because Facebook, even Jennifer Psaki herself, has a relationship directly with the White House. And so that's very troublesome. And actually, this has implications beyond Silicon Valley, which I'll get into.
So, I mean, obviously, we're both troubled by this. And I actually was thinking of going beyond breaking up Facebook because that just spreads out the problems. Let me break this down. Mark Zuckerman and colleagues have discovered a way to make money. That's a given. God bless them. And that has already happened. They never have to work another day in their lives. They've also enriched a top tier of folks. But now what they have created is something that admittedly is completely and totally out of their control. You can't keep writing new algorithms to chase after old algorithms to only watch new and different and much more troubling kinds of social impacts happening. I don't believe that it's possible, even with what appears to be a rarer consensus among Democrats and Republicans, to create a body of laws that can even regulate this monster. I think it's out of control. And so I wonder if it's a combination of both voluntary and involuntary that Facebook's merely shut down. Now, I know that's an easy thing for me to say and a very difficult thing to pull off. And there's all sorts of freedom of speech and pursuit of happiness and all those kinds of issues. But the reality is, this doesn't work. This has reached a second watershed where the harm that it does completely outweighs the social good that it performs. And so I know social media will continue. I know that we'll have trouble with social media, but I wonder if we empower folks, both competitive and Mark Zuckerberg and his colleagues again, start all over again and start now by writing in the algorithms that prevent the serious misuse, this serious abuse that you see now, knowing what you know already. I don't know if that's even possible, but what I do know is that this isn't sustainable. We can't continue with Facebook as is.
They've lost the public trust, although unfortunately, many of the public is addicted. And that was part of the business model, was to create that. And listen, mm-hmm. I fell victim to that. I had to get off after 2016. It just became a cesspool of vitriol hate. And, you know, luckily I've deleted my account. It's been 5 years now, and I feel like my life is much better. But there's an aspect of goading people and triggering, you know, dopamine reactions of popularity and giving everybody their platform. But that's troublesome. But what's even more troublesome, and I think this is where we get to the heart of what is the effect of regulation. It's the lack of transparency. It's the beyond the lack of accountability. They own your personal data. Should you not have direct access to a little silo? And, you know, it's like when we go to the bank, you know, I can have a safety deposit box. I can have my account. I can pull my money out of the account. I can pull my possessions out of the safety deposit box. Shouldn't we have a safety deposit box to say, no, I don't want this to go to certain advertising revenue streams to increase their profitability. I don't want it. You know, they give you the option to say whether you want to be public or not, but it has to go much deeper. The only way to regain the trust is to give the people ownership over their private lives and to say, in how they want that data to be used by third parties. And maybe the solution is to actually, you know, have a secure thumb drive, knowing that when you put your data on that, only you can see it and they can't run wild with it.
I you may disagree with this, but personally, we live in this day and age where technology enables a number of positive things. I don't have a problem with the collection of my data per se. The very act or policy of collecting my data just tells me live life on the straight and narrow. I also know that if it's police work or international public safety, in some way that we're talking about, that my data can be used as much to exonerate me as it can be used elsewhere. But the notion, as you're pointing out, that my data can be used by someone merely for the collection of marketing purposes, to make a profit, to sell to others, and to be the source of someone else's wealth, which could very well be ill-begotten wealth, is extremely troublesome to me. And once again, just like, and this is related, we're still trying to deal today with all the social impacts of an industrial revolution that took place 150 years ago. Look at the fast social impacts from Facebook and social media and collection of our data that we're trying to deal with in real time, and the potential for people to be abused, to be hurt, to be misused is extremely troublesome. And it's got to be, at the very least, taken out of the hands of the folks who created this monster in the first place. Enough to say, hey, they were smart enough to create it, but they created something that they can't possibly control, nor do I think should be in control of it.
Well, they created something that they control, and, yeah. and they've, you know, even beyond what we're talking about, I'm going to actually say that a strong case can be made that they did abuse the First Amendment. And now I understand that the First Amendment says Congress shall pass no law. And so that's a check against the Congress. But what happens when the corporation and aspects of the government actually become an extension of each other? I think that it then applies to that. And so they you know, can say, we delete your account if you say certain things. And even if it turns out to be factual, and of course we have to talk about the bombshell news that came out in the last 24 hours, and I saw this on Yahoo, where the NIH themselves admit that Dr. Anthony Fauci has been lying when he testified before Congress about his funding of gain-of-function research, which implies that he could potentially be a pandemic criminal. And so that information disappeared on Facebook. You couldn't share that. You couldn't talk about that. But now we know that that's true. And so they get to set essentially what the public discourse is, and they get to delete based on what they find politically favorable, and other people silenced and shut out from society. And meanwhile, the corporate mainstream media, which often mirrors the same stories because they play off of each other, if it's covered there, you cover it in Silicon Valley social media platforms, or if it's covered there, you cover it in the media, totally silent about some like this story that really should be the top story in every media outlet.
Okay, so let's be really cautious there about calling anyone a liar until we go through the same sort of vetting that responsible media are supposed to go to. What are the sources on that? Are they multiple sources? Are they credible sources, and so on? But that's another conversation for another time. So what do we do about Facebook? I mean, let's cut right to the chase. If you had a magic wand.
Well, let me just say that what I talked about was released by the Freedom of Information. Documents show that the NIH has said it themselves. Of course, we know that Barack Obama defunded Anthony Fauci's research, which was going on at Chapel Hill under Ralph Baric, for him to then funnel the money to Peter Daszak through Eco Alliance Health into the Wuhan lab. So, I mean, this is fact. And documents point to it. But all right, so what do we do with Facebook? I think Mark Zuckerberg has to basically admit before the public, I'm going to be open and transparent about our practices and our data, and I'm going to allow. I think he should release the data. I think he should release basically the minutes on what they talk about during their meetings. For example, when that, and I can't remember her name, when that woman came out and broke to CBS, I think it was 60 Minutes, about their practices, within a day, Facebook went down for several hours, right? So I think prior to that event, they should release a lot of files about what was talked about, what they have done, and see if it matches up to what she says. And I know that he doesn't have to do that, but if he really wants to regain trust, he should own up to it. Release the data.
Can he be made to do that? I guess he could, and be, yeah, he has to voluntarily do that, right?
He could voluntarily do it, or our system of justice, which has to remain, you know, blind to whatever, you know, whether it's liberal, right, elite, non-elite, or Democrat or Republican, has to. I think that they should call into a criminal investigation based on what these recent leaks from the whistleblower has said. And I don't know that it should result in legislation regulating the internet, but just more or less prosecuting what they've done that's criminal. Set an example.
I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to agree that for two reasons. One is because it's the right thing to do, and the right start. And also because it is a rare moment of near consensus between Democrats and Republicans. We should never waste a good consensus. This could be one of the most momentous conversations and genuine conversations between Democrats and Republicans that we've had in a long time, and an absolutely necessary one. And it would be good to know that this kind of conversation can be held in a very civilized manner, because there are points of agreement. But final word for me, something has to be done. This is a multi-headed hydra. In fact, I'm not even creating that name. That's, I believe, what Theodore Roosevelt said about Standard Oil back in 1911. But I stand corrected if that's wrong, but something to that effect. Anyway, last word for you.
I would just say it's a critical moment in our republic, whether we continue to have justice in the rule of law. And if we don't take these cases seriously and shove aside partisanship, whether it's Zuckerberg or whether it's Anthony Fauci, and we don't go forth with real investigations, it's pretty troublesome. I'm afraid Lady Justice will have to go to the morgue.
Oof. Well, on a happier note, there could be a potential solution to a lot of our problems. We'll have to see what Senator Joseph Lieberman has to say, has to tell us next week when he's our special guest on our next edition of the Zogby Report, Real and Unscripted. In the meantime, if you can, get his book on Amazon. And in the meantime, if you'd like, please raise some questions directly to Jeremy or to me. And we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Have a good weekend.